Hey, this is Lucky. The podcast you're about to listen to is part of the Professional Casual Network. To find more podcasts like this, please visit professionalcasual.com.
The Professional Casual Network has gear. If you're looking to get some sweet merch from Beards, Ears, and Skulls, Grim Podcast, Perilous Adventure, Arachne, and Infinity Podcast, or a whole lot more, you can check out streamlabs.com/professionalcasualnetwork1/merch. Also, don't go to Built Bar anymore. They're not a sponsor and they're dead to us. So head over to monumenthobbies.com and use code professionalcasual at checkout for 5% off every single order you possibly, you know, like order for like paints and board games and stuff. Right? Thanks.
Hey, my electric casuals, and welcome to another episode of Beards, Ears, and Skulls, the best old world podcast on the internet. Apparently, I turned into Christopher Walken there for a second. I'm Taylor, or am I what's his name from Star Trek? I'm Taylor, your personal grudge bearer, and with me today is Dan.
Data.
I'll change in the car. No, I'm thinking of Kirk.
Oh, okay, the different cadence. I got it. I'm Green Goblin.
Look at you go. You gotta have
it. Will be yesterday.
Evil cackle. Yeah, that was really good, actually. Wow. Nice job. That was really good. Hey, listen, before we get started, I want to send a huge Dowie thank you to our beautiful and wonderful patrons who support us over at patreon.com/professionalcasual. These folks help us do what we do every day, keep the lights on, and keep Tim from eating his MTG packs. He's got a lot of those. He's got to stop eating them. It's good fiber. It's the pack itself is the problem, right? Because it's like microplastics and metal at the same time.
Whoa, that's just like superpowers.
Superpowers. So anyways, huge special thank yous to our top patrons of X-Paxis, Iron Mace, Tau, Dagna, Briar Mage, Cider Drinker, Killed It Sparky, Random Guy, Cliff Jumper, Villascenda, Pagan Prince, David Handsome Andy. I can't do it. I don't know if it's like David Handsome Andy. Oh, geez. Brooks, Chris Dillard, Cord, Bastion, and Bangarang. Bangarang Studios. It's such a dope name.
Bangarang.
And then we've got our electric casuals tier. Folks, if you want to sign up and show us support for this show specifically, you can head over patreon.com/professionalcasual and sign up for the electric casuals tier when you can join Lou G, Tony M, Meerkat, Stefan, Rev Right Mad, Cliff, Elite Eight Showdown was canceled, Anthony, Manuel, the Neil Harris, Lil Willie, Carlos, and Nick Baron. Who was the actual?
He came into like the Discord and was joking about how we couldn't say his name right.
He's the real Nick Cannon,
yeah.
According to him.
Fair.
So funny. Oh, man. Brooks was at a tournament today. Got rocked 0-2-1 using lizards. Oh, boy. Sorry, buddy.
What? But lizards are S tier.
Lizards are S tier.
If you know how to use them.
Wow.
Burn. Brooks will laugh at that because I'm sure he knows he's a better player than I am.
Beat his butt at the event. Speaking of events, folks, this coming weekend at the day of release, right?
Yeah.
We will be
October 4th,
Amesbury, Massachusetts, playing in a event that Brooks has built and put together. Link is in the description. And we helped by giving our humble opinions. Show up Amesbury, Massachusetts. If you want to find the event, you can search Beards, Ears, and Skulls. It's called Treasure Hunt on Best Coast Pairing. I think if you just type in Beards, it's the only thing that pops up, which is pretty dope. But yeah, that's this weekend, October 4th. Dan and I gonna be there. It's the first Old World event that I'm going to, and it's 4.5 hours away. So going to be dopers and McGopers. But before we get started, I would like to do the fan favorite section of GIF, which is games played and hobbies hobbied.
What?
GPHH. Guff. Dan's thinking real hard. Tell me I'm wrong.
How be, oh, okay. The f is there's two PH and then another H. Wow, yeah. That was really difficult for me to understand. That's for some okay. reason.
It wasn't a rock. It's all right. Anyways, I've played zero games since the last time we chitted and chatted. However, I've been hobbying. I've been doing what? Some hobby. I know. I mostly assembled. Excuse me. I'm sub-assembling four gyrocopters, and I actually have paint on a whole bunch of parts.
Yo, and that's awesome.
Yeah, I need two of them for this weekend, so I'm kind of scrambling. So, yeah, that's going to be fun. I sent Dan, this is completely unrelated, but I sent Dan a Beard Force One list that has 9 gyrocopters and 2 gyro bombers in it. And I'm probably not going to play it because I would need 2 gyro bombers and then 4 more gyrocopters. So I would need 3 more boxes of those. Boxes of donuts.
That's crazy.
Yeah. It would be so much fun, though. Just da 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 da.
Yeah, that sounds kind of awful.
So, Dan, what have you goofed since we chatted?
I'm trying to remember what the heck this thing is called. So I found, after we play tested and I realized I really don't want my Chaos Sorcerer on foot because I'm playing Wolves of the Sea for this event. I realized I don't really have the character models to have like a chaos at 1500 points. I'm not putting my Chaos Lord on a Manticore and things like that. So I need a Chaos Lord on foot. But then if I do that, I don't have a Marauder Champion model on foot. This is like rebuilding this, my collection here is like, oh, I just don't have that many character models. So I found the Underworld's Warband Khagra's Ravagers on eBay for like $30. Cause it's kind of hard to find anymore. It's an older set. I think they kind of re-released it with the new,
The 4
box. So it's just 4 Chaos Warriors, but one's a sorcerer. So sorcerer on foot. And then the other ones work great as champions, like aspiring champions or whatever. So the one, if you're looking at it now, the one has got 2 hand weapons is going to be my Marauder Chieftain.
Heck yeah. Absolutely.
So of course I put them on squares. Luckily they weren't like, all the Underworld's models have really dope sculpted bases that they fit into. And luckily these guys were all pretty much standing flat. Even the one that's like up on a piece of like masonry, the masonry is sculpted onto the foot and then it's just flat. So it works just fine. But the models are actually really great. I got them assembled and primed and started throwing some paint on some of them. And that one character model is almost done.
Nice.
I did a bunch of work on it last night. I'll probably do some more after we finish recording this episode. And then I just have 22 Marauders with hand weapon shield to finish.
That's it, huh?
They're on their way. I got all the flesh. So I'm hoping to have the whole unit just like base coated, basically maybe some washes on it by then. Cause I only have another week. So I just want it to look not unpainted. So I got like the flesh tones all down. I got the orange on them. I think that's it so far. I need to do like, I'm gonna do like the metal stuff next. Oh, and all like the shields, I threw like snake bite leather contrast on it just to make all the shields, you know, brown for wood.
Yeah.
I figure once I get the metal all done, which you know is a lot because it's like all the shields have like that bossing all around the edge, so like to paint that can be a pain, and then all their weapons and little bits of metal here and there. Because the bulk, the 20 models in the unit are from the new Darkoath ones.
And they're so gorgeous, but they have so many gribbly bits on them.
I love these new Darkoath models, but good Lord, are they, there's a lot going on with them. They are very detailed.
I just sent Dan.
It's not a bad thing. It just takes longer to paint.
Yeah, right. Exactly. There's just more. I just sent Dan, I think it's by Ace of Paints.
Yeah, those look awesome.
Yeah, so it's that warband that he was talking about, but it's like the 4 different chaos gods. So the Tzeentch Lord, obviously, you know me, I love the Slaanesh one. It looks really good.
What?
But I think, right? The Khorne one just looks like Khorne, but that Nurgle green is gorgeous.
They nailed that Nurgle green where it's like not I don't know how you, like a pale green.
Yeah, it's like unsettling. But yeah, Ace of Paints, they posted this May 30th, 2021 on Facebook. Wow, that looks so good.
Wow, that's, that warband's been out for that long.
Right?
I'm a little surprised you didn't have this one because they're like classic Chaos Warrior looking. But because I almost bought a, the like, what do you call it? It was like a anniversary special model that was it was for AOS, but it's a Chaos Warrior Sorcerer. I almost bought that last time we were at the store, but it's like it was $35 for the one model, and then I found this box that had four models for $30, and one of them's a sorcerer, and I think it's a better model anyway.
Right. I just sent Dan again from Ace of Paints, Molog's mob painted by them.
I love Molog.
This paint job is incredible.
That's so good. So bright and vibrant. You have Molog.
I do. I need to paint him real bad. Molog's got a frog in his hand.
He squishes it.
I didn't know that. I want to paint this so bad now. He
has a frog in his hand.
He's so squished. And just all the different squigs. Stalag squig.
The stalag squig is just so top tier.
Oh, man. But anyways, today we are talking about something that that bothers the both of us a lot. And Dan has misspelled it to ambush.
Where?
I just changed it.
Ambush?
Ambush. Ambush.
Wow.
It's ambush. Ambush is not good. It's just not good.
So, and it could be. It should well be.
Yeah, absolutely. It should be. But it's not. So today we're going to chit-chat about ambush. We're going to talk about, you know, what it is, how it could be used. And then, you know, Dan put these beautiful notes in that I literally went in to put almost the same exact notes in today. Legit. I messaged him too. I was like, hey, good job.
I was like, I don't remember what I wrote. So I guess we'll find out later because I think I typed this up a month ago.
Yeah, it's been a minute.
At least. Because it was a few episodes ago, and then we had a couple weeks without episodes because life. But yep. Now looking at these are good notes. Good job, me.
Yeah, they're really good. And then one thing we would change to make it usable, and that's going to be really difficult for me. And then if we could completely rewrite it to be more awesome, how would we rewrite it? But let's talk about ambush right now. So ambush is a kind of like a special deployment, right? So it's a unit with a special rule, maybe held in reserve rather than being deployed at the start of the game. From the beginning of round two onwards, roll a d6 for each during each of your start of turn subphases for each unit of ambushers in your army that's held in reserve still. On a 1-3, they're delayed until your next turn at least. On a 4-up, the unit arrives, entering the battle as reinforcements during the compulsory moves subphase, so obviously they can't charge. The unit may be placed on any edge of the battlefield chosen by its controlling player, but cannot be placed within 8 inches of an enemy model. If any ambushers are still held in reserve by the start of round 5, they just arrive. They just come onto the board. So, as you can probably guess, it's so cool, Dan. What's wrong with it is half of the time they just don't show up, which 100% of the time they don't show up.
Especially if you're Taylor.
Right. What's wrong with it is Scout is so much better in every single way. You get your minis on the board. They're where you want them to be. They can do stuff in the first turn and the second turn. It's just better in every way.
And it's generally cheaper or the same cost. Yep. So my big thing with ambush is you have to pay for it, first of all. Mm-hmm. There's a chance it doesn't work.
Yeah.
You don't have, like, you're not... I don't, there's a lot of things wrong with it. You have to pay for it, and it's usually expensive. Like characters, it's typically like 10 to 15 points for whatever reason. I think it should be free, first of all. Or
because it's that bad.
I mean, a lot of times for units, it's like 1 point a model, but there's so many negatives to it where, like, okay, so you don't have this unit on the table at the start of the game. So that means if your enemy has shooting or their magic, they can focus on the units that are on the table even more.
Yep.
That puts them in more danger. You don't get to roll for it turn one. Stupid.
Yep.
I don't understand why not. You can't charge turn one anyway. Most of the time you're typically starting to charge turn two anyway. So if they showed up turn one, I think that would be fine. By the way it works. Otherwise, the fact you have to roll for it and it's such a high roll, 50%, you have to roll for it after you've already paid for it. It should be a 2+.
Yeah, a three.
Why do you need to roll for it? Why do they get lost? No one else gets lost showing up to the battlefield.
So I guess I understand where, like, hey, we're all going to be lining up in this line here, but these guys are ambushers. They're, like, moving around the sides and stuff. So it takes them a little while to get set up. But at the same time, like, good Lord, five turns in?
Yeah, they used to try to, like, explain it away by saying, like, you know, setting up, like, the timing is what's difficult. And it's like, if you have ambushers, you have, like, a plan in place. Like, you have a horn that goes off or banners that you wave to say, hey, it's time. Like, this was a big part of warfare that Warhammer is supposed to, like, replicate.
Yeah.
But a 4+?
Insanity.
Yeah.
Absolute insanity.
There's a lot of armies, for whatever reason, have characters that focus on ambush that either give you a reroll or increase your chances of getting them out, or sometimes both, or making it free, which is cool. But even when you do that, you know, even if it's a 3+ rerolling, you're not guaranteed to get the unit out. And then they show up and stand there, and your opponent can easily deny the best part of ambush, which is coming in on their long table edge.
Yep. Because they just turn around.
You know, if it's just like, okay, so there's no place for me to come in with, not within 8 inches of any model.
Yep.
Now my ambush is even worse. Now I have to deploy somewhere probably, you know, on one of the short edges. Chances are I could have gotten there by turn two, just moving without paying for it and without rolling for it. I just don't get it anymore. Ambush has never been great, I don't think.
Yeah, in this edition, I feel like it's way worse than it was in 8th.
I'm not sure why. I mean, I could grab my 8th edition rulebook, but I don't really want to compare it to older editions. I'd rather keep the focus in what the game is now.
Sure, yeah.
And it's just like, I don't know. Every time I've tried to do it, it's just like, well, I should have just deployed them with the rest of the army. It would have been better.
Yep, absolutely. Every time. Getting the turn of moving, especially with a lot of the things that can ambush, is usually better. Usually. The only thing that I can think of that where it's not really going to matter is dwarves, because they're moving three.
I was going to use that as an example where dwarves, it can be relatively good because they're so slow. Like, ambush is obviously better on things that have less movement.
But that's if they're guaranteed to show up turn two, Dan, because if it's turn three, everything's away from the back edge of the board, you know? So it's like, why do I even do that? I would just have them set up with everything else and put a dwarf card in front of their face.
Right. They finally show up turn three or four because you can't roll a 4+ for ambush. And not just you. I mean, like the royal you. Nobody can. And then they show up and it's like, well, now they're over there. What the hell? Yep. And now they still can't charge until the next turn anyway.
And dwarves have the option to get a reroll for their ambush roll, but you need to A, buy a champion, and B, give it a 25-point item to allow it to reroll.
It's always so expensive.
Yeah. So not only is it 25 points, I think it's like 8 or 10 points for the champ, too. It's insane.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you got to sink 30-some-odd points in just to be able to reroll a 4+.
I really don't understand why it's so expensive. And then what units typically have ambush? Almost always combat units. Sometimes you've got missile units, like searching through the Forces of Fantasy Waystalkers. That's a character, really? Though 10 points,
yeah, for one dude.
he doesn't get it naturally for whatever reason. 10 points for this guy. Let's see what else we got. Way Watchers, of course, they have to pay for it as well. 1 point a model. Again, why they should just have this.
Yep.
Glade Riders. I guess you could have your fast cavalry show up later. I what else could we do with showing up and shooting instead of showing up and waiting to charge? Like Shadow Warriors for High Elves, again, have to pay for it, a point of model. Same with Sisters of Avalorn. And then with shooting, okay, now I'm wasting turns they could be shooting with their long range bows.
Yep. Just sitting there.
Why am I paying extra for them to not shoot as much?
I don't know, man. It's insane. It's absolutely insane. Sepulchre Stalkers from Tomb Kings.
Oh, thank you. Looking at Ravening Hordes.
Yep, which they're great. They have their petrifying gaze, and that's totally fine. But at the same time, like, I don't know, man. It's just like a Tomb Scorpion that wants to be in combat. You know what I mean?
And how many points is it for those?
It's an extra 5 points to ambush for the Tomb Scorpion.
It should just be part of its rules. It should not cost extra. I don't understand. Like, tell me why I'm wrong, please. I would actually like to understand what the design philosophy behind this costing more points is. Like, yes, you can get your models behind enemy lines potentially.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you have to roll for it. There's absolutely no guarantee. Chances are they're still not. Even if you roll for it the first time you can, you're not charging until turn three minimum. Absolute minimum.
Yep.
And chances are, you know, we've had games where it's like, oh, I did show up turn two, and then you just march away. And I'm like, well, now I'm out of charge range. Great.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. And if you show up, like, let's say I assume that your ambushers are going to show up. This is a weird case. So it's not something that's going to happen likely all the time. I know that you have ambushers, and I have a unit that is sitting on an objective, which is near my deployment zone. I'm just going to turn them around because obviously you want that objective. And if you come onto the table, you're just sitting there 8 inches away from me. I'm going to march into your face so you don't get any spears. You don't get it. Like, hopefully I'm less than 3 inches away, so you don't get any of your good stuff when you charge me.
Right. Or it's like, well, now you're not even charging me in the flank or rear, so what was the point of ambushing anyway? And it's like,
right.
Yes, maybe that took you out of sync with things, but like, I don't know. The last time I did against you was with Beastmen, and I had...
Oh, yeah, that, listen.
The Centigors.
Yeah.
Right?
And they just bounced.
They did okay. They killed something, but that, yeah, it was then the anvil just of doom. Bounced off.
Yep.
They did kill an Anvil of Doom. That was nice. But could they have just charged it turn two if I deployed them normally?
Probably.
And that way I had built my list to be able to ambush.
Yep.
So I had a Beast Lord with an item that made me re-roll it, and it was a three up. So I definitely got them on turn two. But then they couldn't charge till turn three. And it's like they have 8-inch movement with Swift Stride. Like, they could have charged that thing turn two almost definitely.
And
like, obviously with dwarves, you could have gotten stuff in the way. So that was one of those cases where it kind of worked out, but all they killed was the Anvil of Doom, and then they got killed by dwarf infantry.
Yeah, but could you imagine if you set those guys up with your chariot for a dope flank charge? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
So like, there is potential for it, I think, but I think it's so often overshadowed by the cost and the negatives.
Yeah. Yep.
Like, I don't think the trade-off benefits it enough for it to
be, especially for the cost, such a thing. You know?
Right. Like, if it costs more and it was great, like, if it costs more and you could start rolling for it on turn one and it was 3+, then I could justify the cost. But for right now, I don't ever want to pay extra for ambush. I don't even want to ambush even when I can get it for free, like with Frydahl or, you know, Wolves of the Sea. Like, why am I going to bother doing that?
Yep.
Almost ever.
So right now, how it could be utilized, I'm actually going to try this in the event in Amesbury on October 4th.
What?
I am taking the Expeditionary Force for Dwarves. So my Dwarf Miners are going to have their old ambush rules, which is you put a coin on the table, and they pop up near the coin.
They get better ambush
rules. That sounds so cool. Like, I'm obviously going to do that.
That's so good.
And I love the way that the Expeditionary Force does this too, is if you have at least one unit of miners, you put two coins on the table, and then every unit of miners above one, you add a coin, right? So I have two units of miners, I get three coins. And put them on the table, they have to be like a certain distance away from each other, and they can't be close to enemy units. And then when I ambush, I can pick any one of those three coins and put them on the table within 6 inches of the coin or something like that, or touching it or whatever it is. And I think just normal ambush rules. So with the event rules that are happening, it's going to work out really well for me on the last thingy, because I can just put them right next to those crypts and just start, you know, digging through those crypts. But in a normal game with the objectives, which are just, you know, in different spots on the table, I throw a coin right next to one of your objectives and be like, deal with me. You're gonna have some miners popping up. You know, So you're going to have to deal with this at some point. They might pop up on that one. They might pop up on that one, et cetera, et cetera. So, and you know that I absolutely paid for the Steam drill so I can reroll this roll. So I think that honestly can be of good use for ambush. And it's so thematic with miners too, where they're just like, hey, we just dug out of the ground. We're here now. You know,
dug out of the ground.
Look at how cool we are.
And that, I don't know, that feels, that has, it feels better than any of the other ambush things.
Yeah. And it's probably
any sense.
Because it's so thematic too. You know what I mean? It's so thematic. I think in a Wood Elf army, which has a ton of ambush, you should be able to ambush on a table edge or out of its woods. You know what I mean? Could you imagine Waystalkers just popping out of the trees? That would be dope. That'd be, and it was so thematic as well because they're camouflaged in the trees and then they pop out of the forest and like, ha ha, pew, 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 you know? And again, with the Tomb Kings, the Tomb Scorpion, I think, used to do this as well, where you put like coins on the table or something like that. Why can't Tomb Kings just pop out of the ground?
Yeah, that's kind of literally their thing.
It's literally their thing. I think that would be incredible if they could do that. So let's, before, how can it be used? The Expeditionary Force, obviously, when we get back from the event, we'll chit-chat about it. But I think that's a really great use for ambush. Another really great use for ambush is if your opponent has war machines. Like, you know what I mean? That's really the biggest thing I can think of is you have war machines and I pop out and I'm going to kill some, you know?
Totally fair. Like, that's literally the point of ambushers, right? Is to take those backline things out.
Yeah.
It's just so often, like you said, scouts can do that with more reliability.
Yeah, because I can do a turn one. I can start shooting things turn one, you know?
Turn one, you know, they're going to be right up in their face. They can almost certainly get a turn two charge a lot of the time. Like,
absolutely.
Ambushers literally cannot do that. The only other, like, it can be, and then how many, it depends on the war machine too. Not every war machine is worth it to bother going after. Some of them are like, well, it's not going to be that. Like cannons, yeah, you need to take those out if you can, because they're terrifying. But
what if it's a spear thrower, like a goblin 45-point spear thrower? Who cares?
Right, it's going to miss every time anyway.
Right, exactly. And it's only like 45 points, you know?
Yeah, your ambushers are absolutely going to cost more than that. So
45 points just to ambush.
too true.
You know, and again, the other thing that I can see where it's super important is with these new objectives, where they're placed on the side of the board or in your enemy lines or any of that sort of stuff. Like if you just have some ambushers that pop up on the short board edges and your opponent's like, oh, crap, I forgot about them. And they're going to go take that objective, you know?
Ah, crap.
Because I forget about everything. I forget about my ambushers.
Absolutely. Because they don't ever show up right away.
They don't ever show up ever. At any point.
Turn five,
they do show up. So, Dan, if you could change literally just one thing to make it usable, what would it be?
You start rolling on turn one. If there's
Why
only
can't
one,
you roll on turn one?
If there was one thing I could change, it would be that you could start rolling on turn one. I don't understand why you can't do that. It's not going to be that game-breaking, because it's like either you bring in a shooty unit that's going to get a couple more shots at closer range. Oh no. They still can't charge. They can't get into combat until turn two anyway.
And if you're the first player and you're rolling ambush, like if you're the first, you know, the persons that's taking the first turn, there's a good chance that your ambushers that do come on aren't going to be able to pop up behind enemy lines anyways. So it's not a huge bonus.
Right. Almost certainly.
Right. Because math probably checks out that you're not going to be able to show up, right? But then if you're the second player, it's actually a bonus because your opponent has like moved up a little bit and now you have ambushers and you're like, ha, surprise! Pew, pew, you know? Outriders, just bam, bam, bam.
But I feel like being able to show up turn one would make it so coming on the side table edges could be more beneficial,
yep.
I think, you know, potentially.
Yep, absolutely.
So that would be the number one. If I could change one thing, it would be that. What would be yours?
They show up at the start of turn subphase so they can charge.
Ooh. So now that makes them really good.
And, well, now they're a threat. Now it's an actual threat, and it's worth the points.
Right. So again, we're paying so much for it.
Yeah. So turn two, you have to watch out. You have three units in ambush, and they're going to pop up 8 inches away from, you know, enemy units. So it's a decent charge. But on, I mean, movement four dudes, it's only a 4 inch, you know, not including wheels. But like, you really got to book it. It makes it a problem, you know?
Yeah. As it should be, paying that much for it.
It makes ambushers scary. But now, like, you have ambushers, I'm like, I don't care.
Like, all right, bring it. Okay. They're not going to do anything anyway.
And that's it. Change it to, like, keep it at a 50% chance, like, because I feel like that's super detrimental, but allow them to charge. Why not? What, increase it to 9 inches? So now it's a 5 inch charge? I don't know. You know? Like, if you want to keep it, like, a little bit scary, but the most of the time, you're going to be ambushing with cavalry anyways, so 8-inch charge is literally nothing. But
if you have cavalry to do it, there are not that many cavalry that can ambush.
Yeah, but I mean, imagine your Centaurs show up turn two and can charge immediately after they ambush.
I would gladly pay points to do that.
Right? Absolutely, you would.
In that case, I'm fine with paying for it.
Because then they're also the psychological piece that they're supposed to be as well. So on my turn, I know I need to either turn a unit around to deal with them or get the heck out of there. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Just allow them to charge. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Or like something like you have the roll for it, but if you make the roll difficult, like a 5 or 6. If you pass the roll, then they show up at the start of turn sub phase. If you fail the roll, then they show up in the compulsory move phase or something. Like, if
I'm okay people with think that
just
too.
Being able to charge is too much, you know what I mean? Like,
so how about this?
It's a compromise.
It's the same roll. All right. It's the same roll. It's a 4+. They show up. They're allowed to charge. It's disordered because they're like trying to be super fast.
Sure, but I feel like most ambushing things aren't like blocks of infantry that are going to rely on ranks.
What's the one I'm thinking of?
No, that one does. No, disordered is you don't get the initiative bonus.
Yes, that's what I want. Disordered charge.
Okay, sure. Sure.
Right? You don't get your initiative bonus. You're striking at your base initiative. So then in that case, like things like my miners that show up, they're not initiative 5 now with their great weapons. They're still just initiative 4. Initiative 4 with their great weapons. They're still just initiative 1, right?
Which still makes them a threat, but not nearly as scary as they could be.
Right.
Because you're going to kill a few of them before they get to hit you. But I think that's fine. I like that a lot. Let them charge, but it's always disordered.
On the turn that they show up. Yep. On the turn they show up.
Right.
They if they were to charge, they make a disorder charge. I don't think that's terrible, to be honest.
I don't see any issue with that, honestly.
You know?
At face value, obviously, if we play tested that a bit and it could find out like, oh, that's still way too strong.
Well, maybe that'll be our second ever battle report. Is you and I play testing ambush air rules.
Oh yeah, because if you check out Arachne's a YouTube page, Taylor and I did do a battle report of his dwarves versus my lizard men. And yeah. I'm not sure why we posted it on the Arachne Infinity Game podcast page instead of the professional casual one, but you can find links to it on our socials. It's pretty hilarious. I'm repping my fandom of Detroit sports. and Taylor, of course, is talking about Minecraft the whole time and flipping his hair out of his face that he definitely has.
Yeah,
and
yep, lots of hair.
Great time. Good battle report. Fun stuff. Make sure to check that out. And we'll eventually get our second one out, which will be that mini campaign. I keep forgetting what it's called.
And, like, you know, you had a terrible lisp, too. I don't know what happened there. It was, what do you mean? I think it was all that dwarven ale I gave you before we started.
The only thing bad in it was the Bastillodon. Let's be honest. The thing's terrible.
The Bastillodon? With its my big Bastillodon? Rock?
Oh, right. I forgot to take my meds that day, so I talked with a lisp the entire time.
It was so good. And I did the breathe in thing beforehand. So you know it's a real battle report. Oh, my God. It was in tears.
Oh, for real.
Absolutely.
So Danny, she thought it was hilarious.
It was so good.
Upon Shrouded Shores, that's what it's... Oh, that's the first one.
I was talking to Elizabeth about it, and she was like, wow, that's really well done. I was like, I know, right? I even grew my hair out. But anyways, yeah, let him charge and let it be disordered. And I think that's a decent compromise, right?
I'm actually really fine with that.
Could that be absolutely broken? Yeah, probably. We don't know absolutely every list that you can do with ambushing. But at the same time, I don't know. Anyways. The other thing that I was thinking about today while I was thinking about, you know, different things that I would change is...
Are you thinking about me?
I was thinking about you, Dan. Is I wouldn't make it a roll. On turn one, if you have any ambushers, or it's turn two, if you have any ambushers, you pick one of them and they show up. On turn three, if you have any more ambushers, you pick up to two of them and they show up.
Okay.
And et cetera, et cetera. Turn four, you can pick three. Turn five, deploy the rest of them.
One. Oh.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. So you are guaranteed an ambushing unit turn one. And then you're guaranteed up to two ambushing units turn two and then turn three. Right?
That seems fine.
I don't know. It just doesn't seem as horrendous. You get to pick and choose instead of having it be random, which seems like something a general would try to do for his army.
Yeah, again, especially the 50% roll, if it was a 3+, it would be so much better. I don't understand.
I think a 3+ would make me want to take it more often, especially with my 90-point gorgers, because you know I love my gorgers.
Right, and you wish they would do something.
They
were so much better when you scouted with them as opposed to the times you've ambushed with them.
So much better. And I didn't even deploy behind you. I deployed right in front of you. They were the best chaff I've ever used ever in my life.
Because they weren't even chaff. They killed stuff.
They were chaff that hit back. Goldfish.
Wow.
So, Dan.
What?
In the idea of... a lined up army versus a lined up army, and you, the general, say, hey, you guys, you're going to ambush, right? You guys over there, wait for my signal. Okay. You're going to ambush. How would you completely rewrite this rule to be like fun, thematic, and awesome and work?
Whoa.
All the thing.
It's a lot of pressure.
It's a lot of things.
So I wanted to give some credit to our Discord and our community. Uh-huh. Neil Harris came up with a bunch of points when we first started talking about this on the show back on September 8th. I thought it was way longer ago than that, but I guess that was 3 weeks ago. He came up with 7 points.
Okay.
Which I think I said I agree with pretty much all of them or very close.
Okay.
So number one, anything can ambush. With some exceptions like war machines or any unit that specifically says it cannot ambush.
Gotcha.
That seems a bit much to me. I like the idea of ambush being a special thing for special units. So there's a minimum amount that has to be on the table deployment. He says, I favor your general must be deployed in at least X units.
Sure. I would say at least 50% of your units need to be on the board.
Which, again, I'm fine with that. I mean, it's way better than back in the day when it was like half of your units with the ambush rule could ambush, and only if they had another unit that was the exact same unit and wasn't bigger could it ambush. Anthe Edition Beastmen ambush rules were stupid. They were just so bad. Well, because they didn't have 8th Edition. They were the 7th Edition ambush rules for Beastmen, and then 8th Edition came out, and the core book ambush rules were better than Beastman's ambush, and they never changed it. I'm still mad about that.
I remember one day we're playing a game. Dan's like, oh, I'm so upset about that, blah, blah. And I was like, Dan, just use the 8th edition rule book for ambush.
I wouldn't do it.
And nope. I was like, just do it.
Nope. I like his 4th point. You must decide before the game what turn each unit will arrive in and which table edge and write it down secretly. Ooh. I kind of like that. I don't really like writing down note-taking during the game. I think that, I don't know, it's not terrible, but I don't like doing that if I can help it.
What I really like about this is specifically that's what your general would do. He would look at you and be like, you're going to come out of the west flank over here at this time. Well, when you see the banner, you're going to come from the north flank from this time. You know, that's right. What would happen.
And then he goes on to clarify, to add to that rule five is the turn you arrive defines which table edge you can arrive from. If you choose to show up turn one, you come in from your own table edge, which, depending on the way deployment is set up, that still might be beneficial, especially with that like diagonal one. Turn two, you can show up on a neutral edge, and turn three onwards means you could show up from the enemy edge. And I assume it's like cumulative, like turn three, you could show up your enemy edge, neutral edge,
or whoever, right?
Six point, if you can't arrive from your designated table edge because enemy troops block your ability to deploy legally, you can either come on from your own table edge or wait until next turn to try again.
Oh, cute.
I like the ability to block it, but the enemy doesn't know what who's coming in where. So
yeah,
difficult to pull off. And then his last point says units with ambusher currently may treat the turn as being one higher for the purposes of defining which table edge they can arrive from. So they get a little bonus. I can't remember if I said this was from Neil Harris. Thank you for that. Great guy. Love his input on Discord.
I really like that last piece that kind of pulls the whole thing together is anything that has ambush right now just gets a buff.
Yeah.
So like, so
you're paying for it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But you know, that's building off of his proposed rule of everything can ambush. So things that already have the rule or pay for it get a bonus to that.
Yeah. Yep. They're more trained in ambushing, right? As opposed to you look at some state troops before the fight and you're like, hey, you guys go sneak around those trees over there, man. You know? Anyways. No, I think those are some great, absolutely fantastical points. I like that a lot. We have so many battle reports to do, man.
I really want to do this.
Right? I think it would be super dope. Obviously,
play the game and film it. We haven't done it in so long.
It's so long. When was the last For Whom the Die Rolls video? Goodness. For
2020.
The Die
Rolls. 2019.
How many subscribers did we have? 538.
Yeah.
Dang. We were so cool. The last battle report we did was 6 years ago.
Nailed it. 2019.
Incredible.
Yeah. So like the last like hand cam version we did, you know, really pumped to get back to that. And I know we've been talking about it for, you know, a year and a half, almost 2 years now.
Right. For real.
We're so close to actually having things ready for it. If I could just not have hobby ADD and jump around from thing to thing.
Oh my gosh, yeah, that would be a lot better, wouldn't it? Be absolutely incredible. Oh, this hand cam footage is so bad. So bad.
What
a terrible camera. Anyway,
I know, we'll just steal one of the webcams Tim has.
Yeah, for real.
In his basement and use that. We should just film it in his basement.
Yes. I mean, hey, if you want to come over here, I don't have room for it. But anyways, I ain't got room for it no more. Is that how you would rewrite the ambush rules?
It's
fantastic.
I would use a fair bit of that. I'm not a huge fan of everything can do it, because I like it to be special for certain, you know, the units that have it.
Sure.
I do like that he put in that they get like a bonus, but I'm kind of okay with keeping the roll again if it's a 2+.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, no, I don't want the roll. I think you should be able to do it starting turn one.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually really like the, other than the writing it down part, I really like the idea that you choose which, maybe you don't have to do it in advance, but if you have things in ambush, if you're like, okay, it's turn two, I'm going to have this unit show up. You can only do it on your edge or the neutral edges. And
sure.
Really like the start turn sub phase. And they come and they can charge, but their charge is disordered. I really like that idea.
So I like the idea of them being able to charge, but not everything being able to ambush, right? Because hey, if you throw frigging Grail Knights in ambush and they're allowed to charge the turn they come on.
Yeah, even disordered, they don't care. They're gonna wreck face. So
that
yeah.
would be disgusting.
Yeah, that's why I'm like, I don't know about everything.
You know what I mean? So no, I really like these. I do like the little having it turn into like its own cutesy little mini game would be cute. You know, I have a neat idea, and it would just bloat the game, and it would take too much time, and I don't think it would be good. But I have this neat idea of. You only need to roll if your opponent also has things waiting in ambush, right?
Okay.
And the reason is the two units, the units in ambush distract each other. right? Because okay. they're trying to like get around each other and all that sort of stuff. Now, if you are the only person that has units awaiting an ambush, your stuff automatically comes on turn two and beyond. However much of anything that you want can come on in turn two and beyond. They'll be able to charge when they want to, make disorder charges, etc. If you and your opponent have the same amount of ambushers awaiting, then you have to roll a d6 on a 4+. Your stuff would come in, right?
Okay.
Let's make it a 3+. If you have more units in ambush than your opponent does, you still have to roll, but it's a 2+.
Okay.
Right?
That doesn't seem like super slowing things down.
Right. So it's like this cutesy little mini game where they're trying to ambush, but they're also trying to not be seen by the other ambushers, you know?
I do. So, yeah, I like the idea of it being its own little mini game. That's fun.
Right? And it gives, like, let's say you have one unit that's skirting to the back of your army, you know, the back behind your opponent's army, and your opponent has a unit that's skirting back behind your army. They're going to try to not run into each other. It might take them longer.
What?
You know? It's weird. It's crazy.
Don't be crazy.
I had other ideas that's where fun. There's like, right, where there's like a little chart and you roll on a chart because, you know, GW loves D6 charts. And if you roll, a 3 through 6, your unit shows up. If you roll a 2, your unit is delayed. If you roll a 1, the units like see each other and they like have a little fight and then like X amount of wounds are lost from both units or whatever. Where they like, they get in a little tussle. But yeah, there's some weird things that I was thinking of like, you know, making the theme of it actually work where these units are trying to skirt around each other and maybe they got into a little fight before they got there. Right.
That sounds fun.
I don't know. Just trying to add theme to it. Not so much make it more awesome. I mean, if I wanted to make it more awesome, it's just, I can show up whenever I want to and charge whenever I want, get as close as I want to. blah, 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 blah.
That would just be
overpowered ridiculousness. But
what?
Yeah. I never do that. I'm never overpowered.
A little overpowered is okay.
I don't know. I think being able to charge when you come in is a little overpowered.
I really like to balance it out with it being disordered, though. I think that that's a nice, streamlined kind of fix to that. To balance
especially
it
with the things that are allowed to ambush too, you know what I mean? Like Sepulchral Stalkers,
are they initiative
ambushing
one or two?
And charging, they're initiative 3.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
That's surprising.
With their halberds, you know, and all that sort of stuff. Usually they want to shoot, but at the same time, like they also would like to get in combat. So I can absolutely see it being an issue. Or instead of disordered, you're just initiative 1. You always strike last when you charge after you ambush. You know, something like that. you're focused on getting onto the battlefield, and then you're like, oh, crap! The other thing that I had thought
they're right there.
Was, oh, my gosh, they're right there. The other thing that I had thought was, and this might balance it out even more, is when you ambush at the beginning of turn subphase, right, like normal, like I had suggested, the unit then takes a leadership test using the highest unmodified leadership in the unit. So it can't use anything else. And this will be like a special leadership test. So you can't use BSB or any other sort of stuff like that. If they pass the test, then they can charge.
Okay.
Right. So they show up on the board. Whoever is the highest leadership in the unit is like, boys, we got to get over there. Let's charge. Come on, let's go. Right.
Yeah.
And then you're allowed to charge, which would make you want to incentivize, it would incentivize you to put a character in the unit that can ambush with them, right? For that higher leadership. Makes them more expensive.
That right? makes much more sense. Even if we just changed it from rolling a D6 to making a leadership test, makes it so much more like thematic.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. I don't hate that either.
Right? Like,
perpetuous,
why not do it for ambush?
And would it be, yeah, I guess it would make sense of the leadership of the unit, you know, which could be rough, especially for, I mean, in some cases, it might be a 50-50 anyways, you know what I mean? If they're leadership 7 or whatever it is.
True, but it's cooler.
But it's cooler, man. Tomb
Scorpion's a leadership. You're rolling more dice.
Everybody loves rolling dice.
I mean, I feel like most things out there can get to leadership eight easily, like with a character or whatever, obviously depending on something like Skaven, no, but you're also not going to be putting, you have like gutter runners that are going into ambush, not, you know, blocks of clan rats. So I think that's entirely reasonable to get a bit more than a 50% chance on that.
And I mean, Warband would help too, you know?
Right.
They still have ranks, like, even if they're not on the table.
Right. So I was saying, like, with Skaven, if they, you're not going to have that issue very often.
Oh my gosh. Minotaurs ambushing and charging turn one.
Yes, please.
I hate this. No, I hate this game. I don't want to do this anymore.
And that
I'm
way.
Taking it all back.
And then I'm fine with paying for
3
it.
Points a model.
That sounds reasonable. That's pretty expensive.
Right. And either making them disordered.
To take a special army to do that.
Sure. Yeah. You just want Beastmen to be better.
Yes. All the time.
It makes it actually viable for dwarf miners to ambush behind enemy lines and maybe even get a charge off, right?
What?
Crazy. I know.
Insane. I think the thing I like the most about this disordered charge thing is that it makes you think about charging or not when you do show up. If you're able to charge when you show up, because it's like, all right, your chances are you're not, you know, depending on what army you're playing, obviously, there's a good chance you're not going to go first. You don't have the guarantee to go first like you do with charging. I think that would really make you think twice about it. And I like that additional layer of decision making.
Yeah, it's a big psychological change.
Yeah.
And it makes Frenzy work too.
Right?
And
oh my God. Frenzy not being awful sounds the best.
So yeah, you're ambushing with frenzied flail wielding berserkers.
I, you know, I have 3 units of 6 in my list for the event, and I'm giving ambush to 2 of them just because I think a little unit like that is also one of those better uses of ambush. Instead of having a big block of 20 of these berserkers lying in, you know, lying in wait for potentially ever.
Yep.
And then instead I've got a couple of units of 6. If they don't show up, it's not the end of the world. And then they're moving 5, which is nice.
Yeah.
So then again, so that way I'm okay with paying a whole 12 points for ambush in this list. If I,
as opposed to 40.
Yeah. And I don't have to do it. I can decide just not to put them in ambush if I don't, like, I would if I have, like, cannons across the way that I need to get to even quicker, potentially. Yep. Because they don't have, I don't think they have the option to, like, scout or vanguard or anything like that. So they can get to it to take it out. And you get charged by 6 Marauder Tribe Berserkers with flails and frenzy, and you're in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially in the rear.
Yeah, and they have like move through cover too, which is nice. And warband, so they can reroll the charge when they get to it. But they don't have options for scout or vanguard.
Just ambush.
And 1 point a model, which again, not a huge fan of that, but in this case, I'm not that upset about paying for it because the units makes them 10 points a model, so it's 60 points. You know,
yeah,
if I put 2 of them in ambush to kill cannons and they don't show up later, like that's not great because I want the cannons dead as soon as possible, but are they, would they really get to it with movement 5 faster than ambush? I don't know. It'll be a race with the one unit that doesn't have ambush and see if they get there first.
But the thing about it is like those cannons are probably not going to go after that unit, right? They're going to have to, somebody's going to have to go. So again, it's a psychological thing. You know what I mean? Like, do I have to worry about me being the dwarf player that's running 2 cannons and an organ gun in this event? Like, do I worry about the 2 dudes in ambush, or do I worry about the dude coming right towards me?
Right, you're going to be shooting my cavalry almost certainly with flails. Like, they're going to be taking the brunt of that. So, because they might want to try to get to those war machines fast too, because they got like movement 7 or 8, whatever it is. So,
absolutely.
It's one of those things. And obviously, if I'm up against somebody that has no war machines and nothing that's going to hang out in the back line, I probably just won't ambush them. And I do like that it's a choice.
Yep.
You may set them up in ambush during deployment, unless that's been changed, which I searched the FAQ doc earlier. The only change to ambush is a clarification of, I don't remember. I read it right before we started recording and I forgot.
I don't think you read it off to me either. So I have no idea.
because I was like, oh, well, we don't need this because it doesn't actually do anything. What the heck was it? Can you choose not to roll for the arrival of ambushers during your start of turn subphase? No, you have to roll for it when you can.
Oh, gotcha. And that was kind of the big thing that I was... Here's where the role... I'm so glad that you said that, because here's where the role becomes important, right? If, let's say, your entire army can ambush, and you just decide that you're going to keep them all back until turn five, I'm just denying you a ton of points. That's all I'm doing.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
That's so, kind of true. Yeah, well, you can't kill them. They're right. going to show up turn five, and I can just deploy them on my line, and now they're way far from you.
Right. I can deploy them wherever the hell I want to. So that's kind of like something that I was thinking of, where it's like you can choose what turn they come in, which is why I liked the one where it was like, all right, turn two, you have to pick one, it comes in. Turn three, you have to pick two, they come in, right?
Mm.
So you have units that show up. You can't do anything with them before then, obviously, which is kind of the big detriment, but they do show up, which I think is one of the big things with the roll-off, or the roll for them, is you want them to show up. That's fantastic. And you know eventually they're going to. But at this point, if you get three units in ambush that don't show up, that's three units nobody got points for at the end of the day. So,
yeah. So that's an important thing to keep in there for that kind of play.
Right. Right, right, right. But I don't know. Well, I'm glad you and I fixed ambush. Everybody, ambushers can charge now. Congratulations.
This is how we play it now.
This is how we play ambush. I can't wait to go and then forget that that's not how that works. Somebody will remember.
Oh, this is how we play it at home.
This is how we play it. Oh, that's hilarious. That's hilarious. But no, I don't know, man. We fixed ambush. Look at us go.
Da, da, da.
That's it. We're the best ever. GW, if you're hiring, let me know.
This. It's so easy. Why didn't they do this from the beginning?
Easy.
It's so easy. Dana Taylor could do it.
I know, right? Gosh. Remember that time you and I have made 700 different war games, so we know how everything works in every wargaming scenario? Man, we're the best.
Wait, what?
It was a joke, Dan. It's called the callback joke, Dan.
I don't understand.
I'm so confused.
I don't get it.
Oh, anyways. Help. Hey, if y'all want a callback joke, you can call back to 603-803-3235.
Hey.
And you can either call us and leave us a message or send us a message. And Tim will get it, and he'll tell us what it says at some point in his life. Yesterday, when this episode releases, we were on twitch.tv/professionalcasualnetwork opening some Spider-Man Magic the Gathering packs, and it was an absolute blast.
Green Goblin.
Yeah, I opened a Soulstone and we all got $1,000. It was great. I don't know. This is a day of recording.
Not worth that much.
I don't know what's happening. Anyways, yeah, we're not getting the collector boosters, just the play ones. Give us a follow, twitch.tv/professionalcasualnetwork. And then head over to professionalcasual.com where you'll see all of our stuff, our socials, like our YouTubes and our Instagrams and our TikToks, podcasts and blogs, merch, everything's on there. So go over and check that out. Head over to Arachne's YouTube channel where you can see Dan and I playing a game of Old World, Dwarves versus Lizardmen. Arachne. Absolute blast. And speaking of playing games, Dan, start playing .games. You can find Bad GM Dan. You're playing a game tomorrow morning, right?
I am. A time of recording. I got the Uber's Reich Adventures for Warhammer Fantasy Roleplay back up to max 5 players, which is going to be ridiculous. And one of them is Bastion now, so I don't
know. Heck yes.
I'm going to have to take some smelling salts before we start to keep up with everything. It's going to be insane.
Oh,
in the best way, though. Like, it's just going to be ridiculousness, and it's going to be awesome. And I'm setting my alarm now, so I don't wake up right before it happens, because I'm going to be doing that and then scarfing down some lunch and then going to open up magic packs on stream.
Magic packs. It's going to be so dope, dude.
Magic.
Yeah, I got to wake up super early tomorrow, too, for my nephew's birthday.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, it's going to be super fun. I'm going to go hang out with my family. Love doing that. Anyways, This has been a blast. I'm so glad that we were able to fix everything in this book.
You're welcome, everybody. Back.
What's that?
You're welcome, everybody.
Yeah, check back tomorrow when we fix another rule that's terrible. Like the entire Beastmen. It's awful.
They're good now. Stop it.
They're too good. I'm so used to them being trash. Please nerf.
I'll say the same thing for hammerers. I'm so used to them being trash. Yeah. Please nerf.
Oh, no. The one thing in the dwarf book that's good.
Remember our dwarf episode when we talked about how everything was awesome and then the meta was like, these guys are dumb, everything's wrong.
Yeah, it turns out in an army, in a war game where movement is key, having the least movement is really bad.
Right, in a vacuum, a lot of their stuff seems awesome, but then you play a game and you're like, oh, they can't do a lot of the basic things.
Like move. Like their feetsies aren't moving.
Yeah, well, they are moving, just not very fast.
Not fast enough. That's for darn sure. But yeah, folks, it's gonna be awesome. Amesbury, Massachusetts, October 4th. Be there or be a rectangle.
Woo! May your dice ever roll sixes unless it's a leadership test.
And then you obviously want ones. Anyways, folks, give us some reviews. Apple and Audible, I love y'all. Goodbye!
Thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed this show, check out all the other great shows here at the Professional Casual Network. Like what, Danny?
I'll tell you. On Mondays, we've got the Lost Omens podcast, our Pathfinder 2E actual play, hosted by me, playing through the Extinction Curse AP. Also, streaming on twitch.tv/professionalcasualnetwork at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, you can check out, oh yeah, The Power Phase, our Marvel Crisis Protocol live battle report show. On Tuesdays, the podcast version of Wait, Did I Roll a Wild? Our Marvel Crisis Protocol Povlog is available. On Wednesdays, alternating releases on the Patreon, we have Settling the Southlands, our homebrew Wolfthorpe actual play, and The Slithering, a Pathfinder 2nd Edition actual play. And on Thursdays, live at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on twitch.tv/professionalcasualnetwork, we've got Wait, Did I Roll a Wild? Our Marvel Crisis Protocol Povlog.
You can also check out back episodes of Elite Eight Showdown and the first 39 episodes of the Lost Omens podcast, the first 24 episodes of Settling the Southlands, and the first handful of episodes of The Slithering on the YouTube at youtube.com/theprofessionalcasual.